This is Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. Have you seen any strange flying objects lately? Well, last week, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, we all know that as DARPA, released 10 red weather balloons all over the country and challenged people to locate them. Oh, there was a big prize, a big one, to the first person who found all of them, $40,000. How would you like to get that kind of money for finding 10 balloons? And how would you go about finding 10 missing balloons? They could be floating anywhere all over the country. Well, with a little help from your friends and their friends and their friends and friends and friends and friends. My next guest is the leader of the winning team that found the balloons. He's here to talk about his winning strategy and why DARPA, that secret government research agency, would be so interested in sponsoring the contests and the results. So if you'd like to talk about it, give us a call, 1-800-989-8255. Riley Crane is the Society and Science Postdoctoral Fellow in the Human Dynamics Group at the Media Lab at MIT. As I say, he is the leader of the winning team. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira. Thanks for having me.
Wow, what a feat. All of it in 9 hours.
Yeah, it was a very exciting weekend, I have to say. The whole team was together in the office up there at the Media Lab, and it was an adrenaline-filled day.
Give us your strategy. How did you do this?
Well, I think that the key to our success was there were a couple points. We offered a recursive incentive, which allowed us not only to reward the people who actually found balloons, but we could also reward the people who helped us find those people. Wow. I think that was one of the main keys there, but I think we had another strategy, which was that we built a system that allowed you to really do viral collaboration. And so a couple aspects of that were that we made it effortless for people to participate. And in addition to the monetary rewards, people could really watch their direct impact at influencing others to join. So we had one of the students who kept bothering me, a girl named Lanthi, to know how many people she signed up. And so we realized that's actually a pretty cool feature that we should build in so people could see how big their impact was.
So you virally spread this news around through the internet. Among
exactly.
Key people.
Exactly.
And someone told someone else, and were they Twittering? Were they doing all those kinds of things?
Well, so we actually haven't started looking at the data, but we built in mechanisms so that people could put it out on Twitter, they could put it out on Facebook, they could simply... the sort of key to it was that when you signed up, you'd go to balloon.mit.edu, Ira would sign up, and you'd get a link that was balloon.mit.edu/Ira. Now, it was in your interest to promote that link as much as possible, because anybody who found our site and signed up using your link, they were directly related to you as your child. And so if any of those people that you started in a chain were able to find a balloon, then you would be compensated for helping us find them.
And so you spread the wealth out, too, to incur.
Exactly.
How much did everybody get at the end of the day here?
Well, so for the sake of complete transparency, we actually haven't started looking at the results yet, because we wanted to bring in the auditing office at MIT to ensure that the database was handled in the proper way. And so those folks are hard at work, and we've had a lot of administrative support, and we hope to know as soon as possible. I know everyone's holding their breath to see if they won, and I can tell you the results are forthcoming.
And there was no little boy in any of those balloons.
Anyway, no. Nope.
No, that didn't help. You would have gotten a lot of people looking at that point, right?
Exactly.
1-800-989-8255. I'm fascinated to know why DARPA would sponsor an event like this.
Well, we spoke to them, and sort of the challenge that they put out was, it was the 40th anniversary of the internet, which DARPA was fundamental in helping to create. And in these 40 years, a lot has happened. We've seen the web grow up. And very recently, there's been a social layer that's been added to that web. And a lot of people have been kind of sitting around thinking, well, I like Facebook, I like Twitter, but what mm-hmm. are they actually good for? What can you actually do with them? And so I think that they were interested in understanding how could social networking play a role in sort of timely communication and wide area team building? And urgent mobilization that's required to solve a lot of time-critical, broad-scope problems that are facing society.
You mean like terrorism?
Well, actually, that's an interesting point. It seems that that's not what this tool might be most useful for. It looks like this is more a tool that's useful when you can really rally everyone for the better good. So things like finding missing children, or, you know, imagine that a building collapses during a natural disaster and you need to rapidly find 10 people who can operate heavy machinery in a certain location. I think these are a lot of the challenges that are facing society that nobody really knows yet how to mobilize people on a large scale. And I think that's what our team was able to demonstrate, that these things are possible and that we built the technology to try to do it. And it was a lot of fun.
Well, it's fun. But what is fascinating also is that you, who built the technology and built the infrastructure, don't yet know how it worked.
Yeah, well, that's there are a couple of reasons for that, actually. Mostly that this competition started as sort of a group of guys who wanted to participate in this contest. We, you know, there's a sort of funny story that my friend Olin told me about this about 4 days ago, or 4 days before the competition started. And so we all sort of worked day and night to get this thing done. And I think that speaks to the power of our approach, which was that, you know, I'd like to sit here and tell you that we use sophisticated machine learning algorithms to solve the problem. But in fact, I think the system we developed beforehand allowed us to collect the relevant information that we needed and sort of filter through, you know, a lot of the spam and misinformation that people were spreading. Mm-hmm. And so I think the team, we all did a pretty good job at doing all that.
Could you use this to find the person or find anything, you think, this idea that you created?
Well, I think that the power of this lies when you really have sort of consensus. You know, I think the moment that, you know, you brought up terrorism, and I think that's what a lot of people are thinking about. But the moment that you have differing factions who would like to, who each have their own sort of role in you know, in either finding or not finding a person, I think that's where the complication of misinformation and disinformation might prove very difficult to sort through. So in terms of finding a missing child, in which sort of something that everyone can really get behind and try to participate in, I think that's definitely a critical application that we see coming out of this.
I see. So, in other words, you're saying if you were looking for Osama bin Laden or somebody like that, there would be people who would not want you to find him. So they would put disinformation into the system and upset and upset the system. But because you have an innocuous sort of thing like finding 10 red balloons, everybody's in on what's clearly saying is a real game here.
Sure. And I can't say everybody. We've spoken with some of the teams afterwards. For example, the Nerdfighters team, who actively spammed our site. So we'd like to give a shout out to them, because they sort of really tried to make it difficult for us, and they were a great competitor.
Nick in Royal Oak, Michigan. Hi. Welcome
Hello.
To Science Friday. Hi there.
Yeah, just wanted to shout out and say that we were one of the groups that tried to throw off, just to kind of add a real-world environment to it. With I-3 Detroit, we actually flew our own balloon, and it was number 3 for I-3 Detroit. But we loved the idea, and we're really glad that someone actually found all the real balloons.
Oh, so you put a fake one up to throw them off?
Yes, we did.
How many people do you think did that, Nick? Any idea?
You know what? We tried to find a couple sites. I want to say there were, like, around 200 false balloons, but we actually couldn't get an accurate number. We're hoping that, you know, something will be published soon.
200 false balloons, you think?
I think, yeah.
Wow. What do you say to that, Riley?
I mean, that was really one of the interesting parts of the story, and I think that was a testament to sort of our team's strength in processing the raw data and making sense of the sort of complex patterns. I mean, like I said, I wish we had been able to get together some sort of very sophisticated tools of network analysis, all of which I think may prove effective. Sort of after the fact, but I think what we relied on was sort of some very straightforward checks. And while I can't disclose all of the techniques we used, because we're you know, of course, we're scientists here, and we're interested in publishing a lot of this eventually, some very straightforward things we did to sort of to verify the results were, you know, did the participant have a valid email address? Was the balloon location that they reported consistent with the geographical location that their computer said they were at? Sort of some very straightforward things. And we were sort of, you know, hit with a lot of spam. And I think a lot of, you know, there were Photoshopped images of balloons in Providence. And it took a lot of effort on our team's part to sort through all of that.
Mm-hmm. And you say that this is sort of proprietary. The math that you used on this, or are you going to publish the whole thing and make it public?
No, I think once you know, as I said, this was done all as a contest by some students, and now that we've sort of collected this data set, which is really a once in a lifetime opportunity to have such a rich data set on questions pertaining to how information spreads in ad hoc networks and some of the core questions like, you know, how can we harness the power of social media? I think there are a lot of questions, and so we're moving forward to make sure that we're going to be able to have access to that data.
Would you like to see another one of these contests?
Absolutely. I think DARPA has done an amazing job of challenging and driving a lot of innovation with their other projects involving autonomous cars. And I think now getting into some networking approaches, I think what this contest demonstrated is really the power of utilizing the vast resources of the human network to solve difficult challenges facing society.
It's sort of a triumph.
They do it.
It's sort of a triumph of open source, is it not, in a certain sense?
In some sense, we sort of crowdsourced the intelligence of the United States to solve this very difficult challenge. And I would love to see DARPA not only put more funding and research for areas like this, but also to continue these types of challenges.
All right, Riley, thank you. Very well spoken. Very well said. Thank you very much
for taking
that. And good. And congratulations.
Thank you.
I hope you get some of that cash.
Well, just to make that clear, we the entire team of Galen, Manuel, Wei, and Anmol, and Sandy, none of us are going to be profiting from any of this. All of the proceeds will be going to charity for the money that's not claimed. So
there you go. Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks a lot, Ira.
And have a happy holiday season, Riley.
You too.
Riley Crane is a Society and Science postdoctoral fellow in the Human Dynamics Group at the Media Lab at MIT. The winner, $40,000. That comes down to $4,000 a balloon, 10 balloons. We're going to switch gears. Come right back. Stay with us after this break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR News.